Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome to Hawaii. It's a Saturday, March 26, 2011, and this is the Golf Club. We are broadcasting from the beautiful islands of Hawaii, and we're online at radiogolfclub.com. I'd like to thank you for stopping into the clubhouse this morning. Our guests include Ryan Ballingee from NBC Sports, Mike Scanlon, the media relations coordinator for the LPGA, John Richardson, the author of Dream On, which is becoming a movie. I'm so happy for him. And the Golf Club is made possible by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal, commercial kitchen design and fabrication, excellent service, expert knowledge, work and product. You can depend on Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection. Get the star team on your property, whether you need protection for your shopping center, your neighborhood, or maybe you would like to join the star team. Star Protection is what you need. Give them a call. Moon Physical Therapy. Doctor recommended, insurance approved. They achieve results at Moon Physical Therapy. You can listen for the Moon Physical Therapy warm-up tips with Julie Moon coming up during the show. And if you've just had, let's say, hip replacement surgery or knee replacement surgery, or you've just hurt yourself playing golf, get in touch with Julie Moon, right across from Sports Authority, with the endless pool at Moon Physical Therapy. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, they've got special values for kama'aina and packages for visitors. You want to give Poipu Bay Golf Course a call, 742-8711, 808-742-8711. That's why they call it the 808 state, because that's our area code, period. 808-742-8711, Kauai's South Shore gem, open and playing beautifully from tee to green. All right, this morning, of course, we've got all kinds of things going on, and one of them for Hawaii residents, Michelle Wee. The Kia Classic is underway in California. And Kimberly Kim from Hilo, her second event as an LPGA Tour member out of Q School. She has not made the cut yet, but, you know, that's to be expected. It's the beginning for her on the tour. It's completely different when you're an LPGA Tour member than when you've gotten a sponsor exemption. It takes some getting used to. We're also, of course, and who isn't, wondering and watching Tiger Woods to see whether or not he's got his game together. Does anybody get this much attention over everything? And people say, I'm so tired of hearing about Tiger Woods. Well, I post these audio clips from Tiger and everybody on tour, all the leaders, Martin Laird, Spencer Levin, all of them. And you know who listens? I mean, everybody listens who clicks on it, of course, but the most clicks go to Tiger, period. It doesn't matter whether you like him or hate him. You just want to hear him. I don't know why. He's a lightning rod. It's what people, you know, there are people like Michelle Wee. It's the je ne sais quoi factor. That's what we're talking about. That it factor. That personality that attracts your eye to the television screen. You can't help it. You see them and you look at them. They talk, you listen. It's something that you can't learn to have. You're either born with it or not. Star quality. All right. We're joined by Ryan Ballingee this morning. NBC Sports. Pro Golf Talk. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. How's Washington, D.C.?
It is a little cold today, but but not too bad. It is 50 degrees. It's not 93 like in Orlando, but we'll take it.
Wow. I mean, talk about weird weather. You know, we've got torrential rain this morning was pouring down. We've got gusting winds to 40 and 50 miles an hour. We'll have a partly sunny, breezy day with numerous showers in the morning, scattered in the afternoon. Trades are 15 to 25, gusting to 40 or 50 miles an hour, as it has been all week long. I don't know about you, but it seems like it's windy all over the planet since that earthquake in Japan. In Andalusia, you know, where Ferry had a 60 today. Great.
Yeah.
It's blowing like crazy. What? And the first day, I think Charles Howell said it was darn right spooky that it was so windy on the first day at the Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill, and then the next day it was almost calm.
Yeah, it was such a contrast of rounds. The scoring average was almost 75 on the first day. Obviously, a lot improved on Friday. It was a completely different course, although, frankly, the first version, the Thursday version, was the one I played when I played Bay Hill in December. It was kind of windy.
Uh-huh.
Not cold, but not hot either. Cold for Orlando. And I can kind of empathize because the course played very difficult the day that I played it, so I understand what those guys are going through.
Yeah, no, it was interesting because the one person who really complained about the wind was Tiger when he was talking about how he could barely pull his club back and strike the putt because
yeah.
The wind was messing with his club.
Yeah, and that's more British Open kind of stuff. You don't hear about that stuff here in the United States too often unless you're playing in, like, Texas and you come into one of those days where the wind just pick up off the prairie. But it was kind of fascinating to see that happen in Orlando because you don't expect that in Central Florida.
No, it's all very strange. But,
I was down there last month and played some golf at Walt Disney World, and we had a day where the wind kicked up kind of like that, too, and you just don't know what to do in that kind of weather because you're not expecting it. So when it happens, you're not really used to that style of play.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to talk to you about slow play, too. That was, it's something that drives people crazy when they're going to the golf course, and it's something that's been on the mind of professional players, commentators, for a long, long time. But one thing that was interesting on the European Tour I was watching this morning, and it was gusting, and one of the commentators said, you'll notice that the guys are stopping and reassessing the situation because of the gusting winds. They don't usually talk too much about slow play on the European Tour.
They're a much faster bunch.
They are, aren't they? And it seems to me that makes it a lot more jovial and looser. They seem to have a more happy sort of, the je ne sais quoi, my producer's going. I've used that once this morning. I can't say that too often. do you think playing faster, speeding up, loosens you up?
I think it does for me. I think I play better when I, at least up to the green, I play better when I don't think about it as much because you're not worried about each shot. You assess the wind, you pick a club, you go for it, and you find it, hit it again. I mean, that's sort of the approach that worked for Arnold Palmer, and I think it's an approach that works for almost everybody on the planet.
Yeah.
European Tour plays for less money, so maybe that weighs on them a little bit less. You know, this shot could cost me $100,000. And Scott Stallings was thinking about that. Last week in Tampa, he had a four-footer for par to finish solo third. If he misses that putt, it costs him $100,000. I can kind of empathize when Kemp not takes 90 seconds to hit a putt. It's not going to make him hit any better, but I would think about it a lot more.
Yeah, you got a good point, $100,000 putt. I wouldn't be able to think about that. I would have to really let go of that, and it's easy to say. It really is. Now, one thing I thought, I was just cracking up listening to Arnold Palmer. He is so much fun. And I think when you get to be in your 80s, you get to be like, but he's always been very frank. So that it hasn't really changed that much. But he was asked about slow play. And slow play seems to be a topic the players still chat about on the range, was the question. If you were commissioner, what would you do to deal with the slow play? And Arnold says, slow play? Well, I think, of course, I put up with it for 50 years, and I think it's something that's very hard to regulate. But I think they're doing a reasonable job in getting play speeded up. On the LPGA Tour, they penalized the players 2 strokes for slow play. Does it happen more on the LPGA Tour or other tours than it does on the PGA Tour?
I think it's pretty much as rare. Well, I shouldn't say as rare as the PGA Tour. They haven't handed out a penalty stroke in, I think, 21 years right now. The running count, but the LPGA Tour maybe does it 3-4 times a year. They want to regulate play, and they want to get it a little bit faster, but they even had a time par system they tried out for a year or two, and it seemed like it helped a little bit, but not substantially enough that rounds went from 5 hours to 4 hours and maybe helped by 15 minutes, which helps the flow of the tournament, sure, but not much beyond that, and I think they've kind of stepped off of that to some degree. You don't hear as much about it. And you certainly don't hear about it as much in Europe. They only really talk about fining players or penalizing players when they act like jerks and don't have etiquette.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's important. But part of etiquette is knowing when you're supposed to go and it's your turn, you know,
right.
And moving forward to your position and then making the decision. And once you've hit the ball, don't stand there and watch where it lands and then slowly put your club away. You know, kind of move along.
Exactly. It takes 3 seconds, even if you do look at your shot, to admire it, find out where it goes. Or there are thousands of people watching. They'll find it for you. So it's not that big of a deal.
Are you enjoying... Ryan Ballingy has been writing for a long time, and I really enjoy his writing. And he wrote for Waggle Room and then was snapped up, and I'm not surprised because you're a great writer, by NBCSports.com, and you have your own. Now, what topic have you... What's been on your mind? Here I just jumped into slow play, but what's been on your mind lately?
Well, it's been slow play. I think slow play has been a topic I've talked about for a couple of years now, and one of the other hot topics is what's going to happen with Hugh School. The Associated Press reporter Doug Ferguson got a hold of a memo from the PGA Tour to its players telling them that the path to the PGA Tour is going to change. That's kind of yet to be fleshed out what that's going to look like, but essentially what's going to happen is there's going to be a series of tournaments between the best of the Nationwide Tour and the worst of the PGA Tour, and they're going to battle it out over 3 or 4 weeks, and whoever makes the most money, maybe a top 50 or something like that, they'll get to keep their tour cards, and everybody else is shipped off to Q School to see if they can go play on the Nationwide Tour next year.
Ah, that changes things up, doesn't it? So in other words, you don't get to go from Q School to the PGA Tour. You go from Q School to the Nationwide Tour, and then you battle it out with the low guys on the PGA Tour and the Nationwide Tour to determine who gets to be on the PGA Tour. Did I confuse everybody completely with that, or was I on target?
I think you nailed it down. My hope, though, is that they'll actually reduce the number of tour cards out there, because field sizes are too big right now. You have 156 players in some fields, 144 in others, playing split tees, threesomes, two waves. It takes a lot of time to process around like that and get it all complete. And if there's any kind of weather problem or too many players make the cut, the rounds get longer, and that just adds up eventually. And that's why you see coverage half the time wind up not completing play, and they finish their television window, and you have to go somewhere else for it. It's unfortunate, but I think you have to take some cards out of the hands of players and make them go to the Nationwide Tour.
We're going to talk about personalities coming up right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Waipu Bay and Kauai, South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool. Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. I would just like to ask you something. Ryan, are you in a hurry to get off the air and run away to do something more important than talk on the radio?
No, I'm not. I am on the range, though. I'm going to play a little bit later today and try and get through this 50-degree weather and enjoy a round of golf. But No.
No, okay, the reason I ask is because I'm having such a good time talking with you, and there seems to be... Mike Scanlon's going to join us from the LPGA.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and then Brake Par Golf. You know, we hear about his program and his book. John Richardson from Ireland will join and talk to us about the movie that's becoming out of the Dream On. You know, he made the book, and now it's becoming...
Yeah, and I hadn't heard it. It was going to go into a screenplay and go into production. I think
he read the screenplay. He was fascinated. He said, I know the end of the story, but I was just so wrapped up. It's his story, by the way. That's why it's so funny. I just wanted to make one more comment on Slow Play, wrap this up a little bit for the folks who are listening about what they should do. Dean Knuth, the USGA handicapping expert and Golf Digest writer. By the way, Mary Armstrong wrote a really good article that's coming out in New Mexico. She's a golf course architect. And apparently, Knuth observed this about male versus female groups. Okay? And he spent 2 days following Torrey Pines outside San Diego and a day watching resort golfers at Pebble Beach. And he showed that the average male golfer, are as likely to be as slow as the high handicap woman. A short-hitting woman typically walks right up to their ball and hits it. The slow-playing man, very deliberate on every stroke, often taking two or more practice swings. They'd stand and watch each shot until it stopped, then slowly put the club away and moved on. When I approached them to say that I was from the USGA and I had determined that they were a slow group, they were shocked. Knuth says the typical response, I've never been told that I'm slow, and I don't believe it. Or there was indignation. I paid good money to enjoy my round, and I deserve to take as much time as I want. And so apparently being labeled, you know, a slow player is hideous, but not hideous enough to do something about it, is how Mary Armstrong summed it up. So just think about that when you're out there, you know? I mean, sure, you paid good money, but you have some consideration for the people, and if you're really slow, let them play through. What does it take to let somebody play through? It doesn't mean anything about you. I think people take, you know, like it's some kind of personal statement about you. Yeah, it says you're slow, so what's the guy go past you already? All right, personalities. You know, Tiger is always talked about, and let's just listen to what he says about his game. That he's still working on his game, but things are working for him. Sean Foley apparently is working for him. Let's hear what he says. We should be able to hear that in a second. Or maybe we can't. All right, we'll try to do something different here. This is called live radio, and you just never know what's going to happen in live radio. It's one of those things, you know, you just kind of go with the flow and take... Okay, here we go.
No, it's just like... It's like anything, we're trying to build towards the first major, and that's kind of how my game's kind of headed towards. It's building, and it's coming.
It's coming. It's building, and it's coming, he said. As for the Masters, you know, is he going to be ready for the Masters? Because he hasn't been consistent.
I feel he will be, and I say that for two reasons. One, I have seen some progress in his game. He's not three-putting, which is good news. He seems to have settled on a putter, at least for now. And second, he knows Augusta just as well as anybody else in the field. He's won it more times than anybody in the field. And the only other guy that knows it as well as him is Phil Mickelson, who's the defending champion, who isn't playing that great either. And I like his chances, too. I think Augusta National, more than any other place, can elevate your game, make you step up if you've been successful there, and make you realize whatever your flaws are, you can get around the course better than other people, and that will allow you to have better misses, and it'll allow you to play a little bit more inspired golf. So I don't think that Tiger's inconsistency is all that bad of a thing. He finished tied for fourth last year, had nothing in the tank. So that was pretty remarkable.
It's true. And Phil Mickelson, who's, you know, he's the defending champ at the Masters this year, and he hasn't been exactly on his game. Both of them have been struggling, but we seem to put so much emphasis on Tiger. I spoke about that at the beginning of the show. What's your take on it?
I know that the people who read Pro Golf Talk or other golf sites, they're probably fed up of reading about Tiger, some of them at least. And they wonder why he's still sorry and why we still cover him. And fundamentally, it's because he's the greatest golfer of our generation. He's won 14 majors. He has one in 16
Interesting. Someone made a comment about Tiger, and that he has elevated golf into the masses, that we as golf fans and golf writers and golf broadcasters, etc., made a big deal about this young kid coming up in golf. Everybody, hey, pay attention. Golf really has a great star coming up. You got to come over. Come and watch this guy. Come and watch this guy. So we made a big deal. We made golf, quote unquote, hipper than it's ever been, or at least in a long time, right? I mean, with all these young kids coming into the game now. And we have to be very careful how we talk about Tiger, because we're bringing all this focus to him, and now we're going to, like, put him down? And people are going to go, well, forget that, you know. Why should we pay attention?
It's kind of hard to advance to a story that's 15 years old. I mean, we've been talking about Tiger Woods for the better part of 15 years. And all of a sudden to say he's not a story anymore after we've been telling it for so long is just unfathomable. I mean, why we didn't talk about him when he was missing 9 majors in a row in that span when he went from Butch to Haney and then figured it out, won 6, 7 more, something like that. So I don't think that people have that long view of this story, and I think that's important to have, that we're talking about a guy's career now. We're not talking about week to week. We're talking about chronicling his career for the rest of the duration. I mean, he's got another good 10 to 12 years of viable golf left, if not more. So get ready for it, because we're going to keep talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Perry is the perfect example. I mean, what, 2 years ago, he had this phenomenal year in his 40s, and we're talking about writing off Tiger Woods at 35. The one thing that Arnold Palmer talked about, though, that was quite insightful for everybody is putting. If you stop feeling confident about your putting and you start missing putts that had been going in and you start doubting yourself, that impacts you and you wonder if you'll ever get it back. And that wondering is part of the reason why you can't.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that as we get older, as we play the game longer, each missed putt, each pull, each push, we think about that more. And these guys play so much golf, they played so much golf, that by the time that they're in their mid-30s or early 40s, look what happened with Tom Watson. He couldn't make a putt for like a decade. And now he is playing great golf again because he's never rejuvenated on the Champions Tour. It can happen. You can become a good putter again. You can get it back. You can lose it too. But I think Palmer has a point, and part of it came from getting scooped by Billy Casper in the, I guess it was the PGA Championship, right? And he was just sitting on that title. It was his. And he lost it, and then it went away, and that was it. It was over. In an instant, it was over, and we didn't know it at the time. But looking back through the arc of history, that was it. That was the defining moment of his career, or at least the end of it. And I think that's an important moment we're trying to figure out. Is this the end? Is this a new beginning? Where are we with Tiger? And I think we're starting to figure that out a little bit.
Yeah, and part of it, part of it is we put so much emphasis on him bringing golf to the forefront of sports, and he's brought Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy and a whole bunch of other young kids into the game. Manassero is a perfect example, from Italy. I mean, these kids started when they were 3 and 4 and 5 years old, and their parents got them into the game. And it wasn't because, hey, in Italy, golf isn't anything. Well, it is now.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break. Mike Scanlon is joining us from the LPGA Tour, the Kia Classic, and we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed, guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Need a good plumber 24/7?
Alakai Mechanical has the best, from design to installation to maintenance. If you need more than a quick fix, get it repaired by the team at Alakai Mechanical. Whether you're in a home, restaurant, office building, or shopping center, your plumbing has to work. Alakai's world-class plumbing technicians use quality parts to keep your water and sewer lines working properly. Protect your investment. Licensed and insured. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. Your plumbers on call.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And I think one of the things I want to talk with Ryan about later, after we talk LPGA, is, you know, people may be a little upset about all the Tiger talk because it precludes us from talking about the other great players that are coming up in the game. But I still think that the thing about Tiger, the thing about Michelle Wee, that it just, they attract your eye. If there's something, the star quality that you're born with, you either have it or you don't. You can't learn it. You can't earn it. You can't dress it. You either have it or you, it's an attraction, an automatic attraction that people just look at. And welcome to the show, Mike Scanlon. Nice to have you on.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, media relations coordinator, LPGA. Here you are, the second, or actually the first kind of paying event, the Kia Classic in the U.S. We're so excited that the LPGA is on U.S. soil. This is the week before the first major. And how are things going for you? It was a great event at the Founders Cup.
Yeah, you know what? We had a fantastic event last week in Phoenix. Obviously, our first stop domestically this year. And it really exceeded expectations. Such a unique format with so much money going to charity to support LPGA and USGA girls golf, and then also half of that money going to players designated charities, and a lot of players stepped up and we're looking out for Japan.
Yeah,
they're all thinking about our Japanese players on tour who are all safe and sound, and so are their families, and we're thankful for that. And it was a nice lead into our West Coast swing, and here we are in just outside Los Angeles, the Kia Classic, got a great leaderboard going already.
Yeah, we do. Jia Xin, she's like right at the top, amazing players. And we've had multiple winners this year. If you take all of the women who are playing on the LPGA and you look at what they've done, it's like amazing watching with Sandra Gall, I.K. Kim, Stella Choi, and then Amanda Blumenhurst. It must be great to see Amanda doing so well.
Yeah, you know what, Amanda, came out strong in the first round, 7-under par, and then we hit a little weather delay, and we've been catch up. But Amanda's one of those players who we all think is going to blossom into a star. Obviously, collegiately, she won everything there was to win, it seems like, at Duke. And, obviously, people like to see the young Americans with some success, and, there's certainly plenty of role models with Christy Kerr and Morgan Pressel and Paula Creamer and obviously Michelle Wee, too. So I think Amanda's ready to join that club.
Yeah, and speaking of Michelle, she's right now shot a 68-75. Scores are higher except for Jia Xin, who brought in a 64 today, with a 70 on the first day.
Yeah, GA, I heard a lot of comments from players yesterday about what course is GA playing. 9-under par, it's a par 73 here this week at Industry Hills at Pacific Palms. And, GA, not one of the longest players on tour, and this course is playing pretty long. We've had some significant rain, and it's really softened up. But, GA, everybody knows her out here. They call her chalk line. She hit the fairway, on a straight line. She hits every green. I think she hit 17 of 18 yesterday, and she made birdie on the one she didn't hit. So, she is just a complete player, got that smooth swing, and, what people don't know is that she's got a ton of personality, and she's just a real charming player. So we love seeing her at the top of the leaderboard.
That's one of the things that I've often addressed on the show, and that is bringing out the personality of the LPGA players. And being able to, and I use this term very loosely, market, because I think it sounds so shallow to market someone. It's like, ugh. But to get to know the player that you're supporting. GA, obviously, you say, is a, well, we don't get to see that part. How can the LPGA do a better job of letting us see that personality that you know, but we don't?
Well, that's certainly one of our main focuses this year is, you know, obviously we have a very international, you know, top 10 on the Rolex rankings, and we want fans to know these players not only for their skill, but also outside the ropes. So we've been working very closely with our partner Golf Channel, who we have a 10-year agreement with that started at the start of last year, to really bring out their personalities in the telecasts and do some of those fun features. And, you know, we really work hard to try to get that national buzz around the LPGA, and obviously with a, you know, a little bit of a unregimented schedule to start off the season, it's tough to get the flow going. But I think now that we're here in the U.S. 3 weeks in a row, especially with the Craft Nabisco coming up next week, one of our events, yeah, you know, hopefully we can get a little momentum and, you know, get some star power on the leaderboard.
Well, do you think, and this is one of the questions that everybody asks, do you think we need to have a star U.S. player dominate for this LPGA Tour to be successful?
You know, I don't, to be honest, and let me tell you why. We are such a global tour right now, and a lot of people love to focus on strictly the U.S., but if you look at our if you look at any event, any leaderboard, you're going to see players from, you know, 25, 30 different countries, and we are popular in all of those countries. So, you know, to a player in, or to a fan in Japan, Ai Miyazato is probably the top player. To a,
right,
a fan in Europe, Suzanne Pettersson is probably the top player. To a fan in, you know, anywhere in Asia, maybe it's G.A. Shin.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the U.S., certainly we have enough to choose from with Paula, Morgan, Michelle, but, you know, sure, we'd love to see one of those players, you know, rise to number one, but we're very happy with where we are right now.
I agree with you. I agree that if you highlight the personality, if you get, let us get to know the people. You know, we know Michelle Wee in Hawaii. We know Kimberly Kim because they were here. They were born here. They were raised here. We got to know them. We know who they are, their quirkinesses. And, you know, like, Kimberly, what's her, she's passionate about music. What's the thing she's really good at? Cleaning. Cleaning house. I want her as a daughter.
No kidding.
Yeah, you know, but it's those funny things, you know. She was raised in an orchid farm. We get to know these things about her, and I think that needs to be done more. And I would just like to extend this to you again, that I would like to talk with any of your players, with through an interpreter or individually, you know, just one-on-one, on the show, and get to know them. I think get to hear them laugh. Because, you know, that's a part of bonding with the women. Ryan Ballingy is with us. Mike, Ryan, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask Mike? Ryan may have just, has he left us to go play? No, he's still there. Maybe he's not paying attention right now.
He probably just doesn't want to talk to me.
No, he said he likes you. I asked him on the air.
Okay.
He's getting ready to play. One of the questions we brought up last week on the show was the Ron Cyrak wrote the article that kind of started the whole question of the schedule on the LPGA Tour is sad. You know, I mean, it's small, smallest in the 70s, and there's a lot of people very concerned about that. Do you see the schedule in improving? Is there talk of more sponsors?
Yeah, you know, we absolutely do see that. And, you know, obviously the last couple years were interesting for all sports organizations. We're not exempt from the economic challenges. But, you know, with Commissioner Mike Wannin, he's really instilled a lot of morale in our players and staff. But almost more importantly, he's really repaired some relationships with our tournament sponsors and partners.
Okay.
And I think that other companies have seen the improvement after Mike started. And I really think in 2012 and beyond, the schedule will start to increase, and, you know, certainly more domestically is what most people are looking for. So we're very, very confident that we'll have, you know, we'll be playing more events and we'll have a more robust schedule in years to come.
What about the LPGA and the PGA Tour becoming an organization, an umbrella together, working together, becoming one?
Yeah, you know, Mike Wann talks with Tim Fincham all the time, and Tim reached out to him, you know, in the first week on the job, and he's been nothing but great to Mike. you know, a lot of our staffers, we know each other. We work closely on some different things, but we really don't see partnering with the PGA in the future, and we really haven't had any talks along those lines.
Okay. What do you think of it personally?
Personally, you know, I think what we're similar in is that we play golf. But what we're different in is that, you know, the LPGA is very unique, and we have almost a different set of fans than the PGA does. Realistically, we will never be in the same level as the PGA. I mean, the corporate dollars are, you know, just massive for them, and we probably will never get there. But I think that we have such a unique product, and, you know, it's the people who come out and play in our pro-ams that, you know, they become a fan for life. Or it's the fans who come out and, you know, get to see Paula Creamer and shake her hand. Those are the people who become fans for life. And, you know, we just have that approachability and that accessibility to our fans that I think a lot of other sports just can't offer.
Okay. What about, I need to ask this question. How about having at, let's say, Pebble Beach or at Pinehurst, where there's lots of space, having both the LPGA and the PGA Tour play the same week, like tennis does?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's an idea certainly to consider, and, you know, the USGA has already considered and approved that idea for the, I believe it's the 2014 U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst.
But that follows a week after.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you know, it's certainly an idea to consider, and I don't think that anyone thinks it's a bad idea here at the LPGA. It just hasn't come to fruition just yet.
Okay. All right, it just seemed to me that it would be a good idea for the two to work together. There wouldn't be as many conflicting moments. That's something that needs to be worked out on all tours, I think. By the same token, the Nationwide is not going to have a sponsor next year, so they're, you know, they've got their own challenges on the PGA Tour and all their organizations that they work with. You know, PGA Tour takes care of the Nationwide, the Champions, et cetera, et cetera. Under the umbrella of the LPGA, you also have the Women's, the Legends Tour, and you have your Futures Tour. How are they succeeding?
Well, we don't directly partner with the Legends Tour. We do support them, but they only have 5 or 6 events a year. But people love to go out to those because it's all the past stars, you know, Hall of Famers, the Amy Alcotts, the Beth Daniels, and there's still a huge demand to see those kind of players. We do still have the Futures Tour, the LPGA Futures Tour, that's actually in Winter Haven, Florida this week, for the Florida's Natural event, and they're doing great. And, you know, we really look at the Futures Tour as a stepping stone to the LPGA. It gives players a place to hone their games, a place to make a little bit of money, but more importantly, a place to get to the big leagues, and that's really the purpose of our developmental tour.
Okay, and some people want to know if you're going to give more support to the Futures Tour, give more coverage, make it a bigger part of your website, you know, like more connections.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've partnered with Golf Channel, and they have taken an interest in the Futures Tour. They'll be doing more coverage this year. And they do have a separate website from the LPGA, but we do try to feature the Futures Tour and all of its players on LPGA.com as frequently as possible. And, you know, when you look at down the list of former Futures Tour players, I mean, the one at the top is Lorena Ochoa. I mean, she's, you know, on top of the women's game. She honed her game out on the Futures Tour, so... You know, it certainly does serve a purpose.
All right. I would like to see the PGA Tour's website. Is so cool. It has the Nationwide. It has the Champions right there. I would like to see the LPGA do the same thing for the Futures Tour. It just makes more sense, you know. And I don't know. There's a lot of things that I'd like to see to make it more accessible. And I really mean it. I would really like to work closely with you to get more players on the show. And, you know, they don't have to be the top 10. I know they're very busy people. But with Ai Miyazato and Mika Miyazato, they're not related, but they're at the top of the leaderboard this weekend. They're playing knowing how much trauma is going on in Japan and how the people are struggling. And I just loved what they said, that what they're trying to do, playing, you know, the Japan LPGA, I don't think they've started up again, have they?
No, they haven't just yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, so with the women who are playing, who are from Japan, they want to bring, you know, courage, encouragement back to their people. You know, by continuing to play on the tour, raise money for the people in Japan, and at the same time bring them something to look forward to, some hope You have to hope in a time like this, and I think that's what they're doing. Did you hear a message from them in particular that you can tell us about?
Yeah, absolutely. We brought in I and Mika and Momoko Ueda earlier this week for a press conference, and you know, really their message was it's important for us to play good golf this week. That's really what we can do to, you know, to keep the morale up, to give people in Japan something to watch and cheer for. And, you know, I think there weren't too many dry eyes in the press conference room at the end of that press conference. You know, I really stepped up, and she just said, you know, if you're not directly affected by the earthquake and you're from Japan or you're, you know, Japanese American, wherever you are, you got to continue on with your life and just do the best you can. And I think that sets a great example for, you know, Japan is about to quit. We all know that. And they have great stars in a variety of sports. But, you know, our three Japanese players who came in really, they showed a lot of integrity. And, you know, we're really proud of them. We're really happy that they're safe and sound. And, you know, it's good to see them still playing really good golf this week.
Yes, absolutely. And I just want to let you know and let them know that in Hawaii, we're doing all kinds of fundraisers, and the Aloha for Japan relief effort that was started by the state government, the Japan Council, and local business leaders, many banks, they've already raised over $1 million. So the work continues in Hawaii, yeah, with First Hawaiian Bank, Hawaii National Bank, Home Street Bank, Pacific Rim Bank, Territorial Savings Bank, American Savings, and Bank of Hawaii, and Central Pacific Bank, all of finance factors, all of them working very hard to generate the dollars. There's lots of concerts that are happening every week to help the people of Japan, and just get that word back to them for us, would you?
Yeah,
thank
we
you
will.
Very much.
Totally in. All right.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I hope to talk with you again.
Okay, sounds good. We'd be happy to get some more players on your show, so just stay in touch.
I will. Great. And we'll talk with Mr. Ryan Ballingy. I'm not sure if he's still with us. He's trying to get ready to play golf. I'm taking up his time. and Break Par Golf, John Richardson, Dream On, his book is becoming a movie. You know, you gotta keep dreaming. So thanks, Mike. Aloha.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808 742-8711. Your tea time is waiting. Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results. Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back to the show. If you're looking for a tee time that you'd like to play, for instance, Volcano, where it was 47 degrees, kind of like it was in Orlando this morning, where Ryan Ballingy is playing. Or no, he's in Washington, D.C. He was playing in Orlando. He's up in Washington, and it's about 50 degrees. Well, it's 47, Volcano. There's a 9:54, a 10:36, and an 11:06. When the sun comes up, it'll probably warm up, but you'll still want a windbreaker because in the shade, it's going to be chilly. Muckalee, there's an 8:44, a 9:48, and a 10:44. And we've got at, let's see, oh, the Anderson Group and Kalepahui. They're playing at Muckalee. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And bring a can of food. They're doing a food drive at Muckalee. So bring some food to Muckalee, and the food bank will say thank you very much. On the Big Island, everybody, the entire world could use some help right now. On Kauai, the Southside Men's Group and O.J. Johansson Group, they're going out at Poipu. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. There's an 11:20, a 12:50, and a 1:20 that you could play at Poipu. Ko'olina, the Happy Hookers, and Hana Group, they're going out. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. There's a 9:36, an 11:12, and a 12:16. At McKenna, the Road Warriors. Yeah, I like that. The Road Warriors are heading out. And if you'd like to play at McKenna on Maui, there's a 9:28, a 10:32, and a, 8:24. Bit, you're going to have to be real close to get there in time. Oh, there's something special coming up. The inaugural Boy and Girls Club Charity Golf Tournament at Mauna Kea Resort. It's on the 14th of May at Mauna Kea Golf Course, the Boys and Girls Club of the Big Island, raising money to improve the quality of the community and the world by being the premier youth development program of the Big Island. Their mission, to inspire and enable Big Island young people to be productive and responsible citizens through quality programs in a safe, caring environment. And the Boys and Girls Club of the Big Island offers an array of specially designed youth development programs for our children. So this is going to be a four-person scramble, love scrambles. Of course, as long as everybody's moving along at a nice pace. Limited to the first 132 golfers or 33 teams that sign up. It includes a putting contest, prizes, box lunch, award ceremony. So that's the Boys and Girls Golf Charity Tournament, four-person scramble, Mauna Kea. And I hope that you can get in touch with them, and they're going to have a whole bunch of fun. Okay, that's May 14th. Save the date. Get in touch with the folks at Mauna Kea. The number over there is 882-5414. 882-5414. Thought it'd be fun for us to listen to some of the comments the players made at the PGA Tour Bay Hill Arnold Palmer presented by MasterCard tournament. Now, let's see. Raphael, you think we're ready for this? Can we do a couple of those? Because some of the things that some of the players said about their round I thought was priceless. One of them in particular, Spencer Levin. You know, have you ever gone out and just gotten the luckiest breaks? I know most of the time we go out and we don't have very lucky breaks. The ball bounces, out. When it could have just as well bounced in. But Spencer Levin was talking about how he actually scored a whole lot better than he played. And boy, doesn't that, it just sounds like my kind of, I wish my round went that way. Let's hear what he had to say about that. It doesn't look like we're going
to... I got to a really good start. I got really lucky on the first hole. I hit a ball that was going to go in the bunker, and it bounced over the bunker onto the green, and then I made about a 30-footer, so... couldn't really ask for a better start after a bad drive. But overall, I scored a lot better than I played today. I didn't play great. I didn't drive it very good. But all in all, I'm happy. The way I played to shoot 2-under, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, KJ Choi, he's getting so much better with his English. It's really great to see. I mean, he's really working hard to connect with the fans. And his irons and his putter... we're on, and this is a man who doesn't have a long game. And Bay Hill is kind of more a long hitter's course. So it was great to hear him. He's so excited. He shot a 64 yesterday. This is what he said about his round.
Today, putting is irons unbelievable. I play in the Somegi. So I'm more rested and I'm practicing in the more weekend and the exciting.
He's, that's great. He's excited that the weekend is here. Me too. But Martin Laird, this is the perfect combination. You know, you're driving well, and you're putting well. It doesn't get much better than that. Okay.
A couple putts yesterday looked really good and didn't go in, and then today any putt that looked good went in, pretty much the exception of eight. So, you know, most of it was all on the greens. Obviously, I'm driving the ball really well and I'm putting well, and, you know, ask any pro, that's a pretty good combination to have, and especially on a golf course this long, where you have to drive the ball in the fairway.
So we've got Martin Laird at the top of the leaderboard. Tied for second is KJ Choi and Spencer Levin. John Senden and Ricky Fowler and Steve Marino. We've got four guys tied for fourth right now at the top. After Steve Marino, we have, let me see if I can get this one to scroll down. Thank you. Steve Marino, Ricky Fowler, John Senden. There's three guys that are tied for fourth. They changed because they're playing right now. And Mark Leishman and Trevor Immelman and Charles Howell III and Hunter Mann are tied for seventh. Trevor Immelman, I'm glad he's getting everything back together again, because he had a number of issues with his body, you know, stress and stuff that happens, like with Ernie Els, that you go out and you're doing something that is completely unrelated to the game that you make your money on, and you hurt yourself. And it's kind of like Martin, you know, Bernard Langer. He has to have thumb surgery, and of all things, he was just going out. It was riding his bike to the beach. This is a guy who rode his bike to the golf course when he was a caddy, a kid. You know, he rode for miles to work as a kid on his bike every day. This isn't something that you would think that would hurt you. He was riding his bike to the beach, and it was just some fluke injury to his thumb. He's been at Augusta 27 consecutive years. He's not going to be there this year. Not for playing, at least. He may make an appearance. And he said, knowing that it wouldn't heal itself, I had to have surgery. It's not good, but you can't choose these things. You know, he had to have ligaments in his thumb repaired. And that's, you know, just one of those things, the way it goes. I'm sure he wanted to be there since two of his countrymen are going to be there, and we're really excited for him. We're going to take a break. We're hoping to connect with my good friend John Richardson, who's calling in all the way from London. Actually, he's in Ireland, but it's about the same time. And I'm not sure, you know, sometimes the connections fail, but we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. You know, as we wait for John Richardson to call in, golf can be best defined as a series of tragedies obscured by the occasional miracle, followed by a bottle of beer. Don't you just love that? Golf can best be defined as an endless series of tragedies obscured by the occasional miracle, followed by a good bottle of beer. Here's another one. Golf. You hit down to make the ball go up. You swing left, and the ball goes right. The lowest score wins. And on top of that, the winner buys the drinks. Golf is harder than baseball. In golf, you have to play your foul balls. And if you find you don't mind playing golf in the rain, the snow, even during a hurricane, here's a valuable tip. Your life is in trouble. All right, so Ernie Els, his son has autism. And it's an interesting thing, autism. It's being discovered in so many more children. Some people may say it's always been there, but others say it's environmental. Others say we absolutely have no idea what causes it. And that's one of the reasons why Ernie would like to raise a lot of money. He wants to put together a center for excellence. He has the Els for Autism Golf Challenge. His son was diagnosed with autism 4 years ago. And he simply said, I'm thrilled with the incredible support from SAP and Callaway and their partners, because with their help, we'll be able to raise the funds to deliver the best treatment possible to children on the autism spectrum around the world. And the thing about autism is it strikes children differently. Some have a milder form of it. Some have a very serious form where you can't even hold them. You know how difficult that is if you're a parent and you can't hold your child? You know, and you don't know where to go to find out information. You go online, you're searching, and the doctors can't really tell you anyone. The ones that talk to you, they don't know. There's no one who really specializes in it. That's what he's trying to do. So Bob Bupka got together with Ernie Els and had a nice conversation about what Ernie's doing, this major golf tournament to raise money for the Els for Autism Center of Excellence. And let's let Bob take it away. The computer's sticking this morning, so we're having a few problems with that. But we're going to try to get Bob's interview with Ernie shortly. Maybe we want... Yes. Raphael.
Sorry, it's John here. Can you hear me?
Oh, John! John Richardson, you're there. How nice to hear from you. Oh, that's
yeah, I feel particularly bad interrupting the Ernie Els story.
Oh, no. No, don't feel bad at all. I was, you know, in fact, I was just saying to my friends that, you know, we're just kind of hanging out waiting for John to connect. In the meantime, let me see if I can, you know, and entertain you with some silly stories about, I love this one, though. This is really quite good. Golf can best be defined as an endless series of tragedies obscured by the occasional miracle, followed by a good bottle of beer. Isn't that what you felt like when you were doing your personal challenge that became Dream On?
Far too often. Far too often, Danielle, unfortunately. I was thinking trying to get through there seemed like a series of personal tragedies there, too.
Yes, trying to get through?
this is the world's most boring story, but actually, we're an hour forward here now, so that's what confused me. So it's actually only 6 o'clock here. Anyway, people have no interest in talking about the time.
No, time is everything. You know, around the world, and with daylight savings time, we don't observe it. They do on the mainland, except in Arizona and parts of Alaska. You know, it's like, hello, what time is it? And especially during this time of year, when everything changes, everybody gets messed up. It's
We actually change in the morning. This is the first time that I've ever called you where I haven't checked myself, so I have responsibility too.
When do you check? You change this morning?
We change tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
And we changed last week. See,
right. Oh, well, that's what it is, then. That's what it is.
This sounds as bad as the golf tours, you know, not knowing when to hold an event. Shall we have the President's Cup in Australia the same time that Ernie Els wants to defend his title in South Africa? Let's see.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, not white.
Could we work together here? Let me take care of this real quick as our station identification. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KHUI Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM 1 Princeville. Okay, so with that taken care of, some of the people who have listened to the show for a long time know John Richardson. And John has been on to talk about his book, and we're going to have to sum it up a little bit. But for those folks who've heard the story, let's give you an update. And the update is, my goodness, your book has been sold to a German publisher.
That's right. That's right.
And now, go ahead.
Sorry, well, I mean, I think I mentioned by email, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with clearly with the Martin Keimer factor. And obviously I say that not from the perspective that Martin Keimer went to the publisher and said, you know, you have to get this book, it's great. Of course, that might have happened. You never know, Danielle, you never know. But I think the reality is, of course, you know, golf will have, it's interesting you're talking about Bernard Langer there, because golf will have taken a big jump up again in Germany off the back of Keimer. Well,
yes.
So it has.
Yes, it has.
So I think that's one of the fascinating things, and then it makes you think about what other countries around the world are suddenly getting that resurgence in golf. Maybe not, you know, resurgence in the case of Germany, and what other countries are really then just really wakening up to golf. I mean, we know, obviously, you know, the Korean story is fascinating.
Yes.
But you have to assume that the Molinari brothers have created a huge buzz for golf in Italy, too.
And Manassaro.
You know, and
The young Manassaro as well. I mean,
yes, exactly, yes.
He's 17 years old.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I think Martin...
Remarkable.
Yes. Martin Keimer said, Keimer said he was playing with him, and he said, boy, this young man is so mature for 17. I'm always afraid when people say that. You know, it tells me that they haven't been able to kick out their heels. At some point...
Because I mean, you got to kick out some stage, or you turn into Tiger potentially. But anyway,
yeah,
let's gloss over that one.
See, Monastero is going to have to do it at some point. But there are those rare individuals who just are mature throughout life. You know, you just marvel at them. And Monastero seems to be one. And for Martin Keimer to say that, it's kind of like, because the Germans are always kind of mature for their age.
Yes, I think so.
You know what I mean? It's
very much so.
Yeah. So for him to say that, I went, wow, that's true. And he goes, he's the real deal. And that's great. So you're hoping that your book gets sold in Italy?
Well, yes. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the agents, of course, do their stuff and they punt it around, but there certainly has been a lot more interest in Europe, full stop. You know, further to the success of it, you know, in the UK and the US, and then obviously with the film coming together too, then suddenly I think it stands a much greater chance of going to some of those other countries where it hasn't previously been sold to.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, with your book, who translates it into German?
Well, it'll not be me. Trust me on that one. my German extends no further than wie ist das Wetter heute, which is what is the weather today? Maybe a couple of other things. So I'll be peering my way. I'll be trying to work out whether there's anywhere in the book where I mention the weather. And that'll be the only section that I'll be able to go to and read.
Okay. So someone's going to translate. It's always interesting to see the translation, you know, how they do that. It's fascinating.
Well, that's it, yeah, because, you know, you wonder, will there be any of the slightly peculiar Northern Irishisms? How will that translate into German?
Exactly.
I would assume maybe not all that well.
I know, especially the hunting reference, you know, when you were out playing golf.
Oh, yeah.
When it was midnight. And, you know, your poor wife is at home, and she's wondering where you've left your phone in the car. This is John Richardson. He went on it's like a quest. I feel like the knight's quest, okay? His quest was to break par in a year. And he made that his life's mission that year. And to the detriment, in some cases. I mean, you were such a good dad. You always read to your daughter, and then you'd run out the door and go practice again. Mm-hmm. But it hurt his professional life. He wasn't considered quite the partner at work, would you say? Yeah?
Very much so.
Yeah, and then it...
Totally exasperated my wife. It's probably the kindest way to put it.
Yes, totally exasperated. Well, one of the best stories in the book is about how John, trying to multitask, takes a sledgehammer, and he's using that to... What were you doing, swinging that?
Well, what I was doing, I was trying to practice my swing and get fit at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So I used to swing this sledgehammer in the house.
In the house?
And then I got cross with my wife one day because she wanted to move the sledgehammer. Because I got cross with her because she had moved it, sorry. The indignation, I mean, can you believe it, that she felt that it wasn't a suitable thing to have a sledgehammer?
In the living room? What did you have to watch television? You know, you had to watch those tips.
Well, that's it.
Yes, the DVDs that you had, right?
But even if I was sort of pretending to be a pleasant husband and you know, watching TV with her, I would still be standing there swinging the sledgehammer or swinging a club and sort of checking myself in the window to see where, you know, where my hands are. So, yeah, she certainly took the brunt of just how irritating I was during the year.
So it'll be interesting to see how that translates. Plus, the story that I started to tell is, see, he left the cell phone in the car, and she's calling. You know, it's late. The sun doesn't go down until after 10 in England, in the UK. He's in Ireland.
Yeah.
So he's out there, he's totally immersed in this quest that he's put himself on. And he's writing, and he's logging this, and he's got to send these articles and his updates, and it's become like an obsession of his to accomplish this goal. And he's in the middle, it's getting dark, she's wondering where he is, he's hitting balls, and it's up by the woods where hunters go hunting.
Yep.
And what's going through her mind?
Well, that bit makes it through to the film, because I've seen the script. But the point is, what I say is, when I arrived back, one of the other members of staff that was at the beginning of the golf, they'd heard the shooting going on. And the expression that they used to me was, we thought you were going to come back teabagged. As in, looking like a teabag with lots of little holes in it. Now, I don't know whether that's a line that'll translate well to German or not, but I think it's a bit of story that had to make it into the film, you know. Although exaggerated a little, I might say. Everything in the film is an exaggerated version of what happened in reality.
Oh, that's great. But I loved your reaction. Okay, online, I went to find out about the movie. And we have to tell this story, actually, from the beginning a bit. But just to wrap this part up before we take a break, he's up there in the reason she was so worried is they go hunting in the mountains at night. It's commonplace, right?
Well, it's poachers. These are poachers. They're not meant to be doing so. And the golf club is beside a, you know, quite a fancy estate where they have lots of deer. And so really the poachers, and they're after the rabbits and occasionally deer. They shouldn't be there. But the weird thing was that actually they were quite friendly guys. So when you were standing there at dusk, when they would be out walking across the course, you know, with their guns, I might add, they would find golf balls. And then they would see me as this idiot who was nearly always out at that time of night. And then they would throw all the balls that they'd found over to me just because they didn't need them. You know, they were after little furry things. Whereas I'm this fool standing there at dusk, you know, constantly pitching and chipping. And then until the one night whenever, you know, I was too late and then they start shooting and I go, ooh, running down the road like a scared little girl.
We'll be back. We're talking with John Richardson. The book is Dream On. You really need to read it. It's going to be a movie. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results. Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. We're talking with John Richardson. The book is called Dream On, and it's a very, very, very good book, and it give you so much insight into some of the things that we just do as human beings. That's one of the things that John managed to capture. You read it and you say, gosh, that's so much like me. The obsessive compulsive behavior that all of us have to some degree or another, and the procrastinating that so many of us do. And then the last minute we go and say, oh, this is the best part, you know. I'm gonna leave the putting for last because I can do that in a month. I got to really work on this other stuff. I'll get to that putting later. Tell us, what made you think you could just go out there and putt so well that you could just spend so little time on it?
Well, I think, you know, without sounding like a motivational guru, I think the reality of these things is we all end up doing the things that we want. You know, we can be very motivated to do stuff that we enjoy doing. So you're absolutely right about the procrastination. You know, I actually put the whole challenge off for about 10 years. And then when you really kick into it, you know, you can become, as you say, you know, totally obsessional about it. But most of the time what you do is you become obsessional about the parts of the game that really appeal to you. And that's why when you stand there at the range, and I didn't do this too badly, but when you stand at the range, you watch people just smashing their drivers. And I used to walk up and down the range, you know, because I effectively camped out of the range for a year. And I would just watch all of those people with their drivers. And I was, you know, I didn't do that. I worked very hard, you know, on my 6-iron and my 7-iron just to try and get the swing right. And then worked very hard in my short game. But, you know, a range will be filled with golfers and the putting green will be completely empty. Because actually, the putting is hard work. It's not the sexy part of golf. You know, it's not that. You know, it's not this doing this beautiful, you know, sort of 2-yard draw for 300 yards or, mm-hmm. or the dream of that at the very least. You know, holding putts is actually, well, the problem with putting practice is that, in my view, it's also sore. You know, yeah. It hurts your back if you're going to stand there for an hour or so.
Yeah.
And I think, therefore, that's why it's so hard to get yourself going with that. And that's when your brain kicks in and persuades you that actually you don't really need to do it that early, you know, that you can leave it until later. You allow the excuses to convince yourself. And that's, that. You know, I think that applies to so many people. There's no doubt about it. You know, Ben Hogan, even used to, I mean, I read relentlessly about Ben Hogan and he became a huge hero of mine. But that isn't a great thing if you don't like putting, because Hogan regarded putting as effectively a totally different game. And, I mean, he would have had so many more majors if he'd been a really good putter. So you can get caught up in the mystique of the Hogan and the perfect ball striking, and all that does is add fuel to your procrastination fire that's stopping you standing there and, you know, really putting the putting work in, unfortunately.
And you found, when you found yourself actually doing the putting work, that you wished you'd had done more of it?
Well, for sure. I mean, I think the thing about that is, what, you know, what happened was, I was playing extremely well in my ball striking one day. And I went out and I think I shot about an 80. And when I went through the card, I discovered that I had taken 40 putts. So I knew that if I'd got that down, you know, that could have been the round.
Yeah.
I really would have had it all together if I just had a reasonable amount of putts.
Yeah.
So that was enough. That was the wake-up call. And I think that's what we all need sometimes, is to have that wake-up call. You know, whether it's other aspects of life or, you know, or golf. And that's, then I spent a week where I spent 35 hours in my putting and during those 35 hours, I went from, when I next went out to play golf, which was exactly a week later, I took 28 putts.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean I was consistently able to go around in 28 putts, but it was this huge, you know, phenomenal change in my putting that happened in 1 week. Now, spending 35 hours of putting was pretty crazy. I was up every morning, every lunchtime, and late at night, every evening, just putting and putting and putting, and I went, you know, I watched two or three of the videos to, you know, to get the technique right, and then I just worked at it relentlessly. But I think what most golfers don't do is they don't look at their rounds ever with that level of a magnifying glass and say, okay, I know that it's the slice, my short game, and maybe 3 foot putts are the three things that are costing me the big scores. And what I'm now going to do then is I'm going to address those individually. So I'm going to go to my pro and I'm going to say, right, you know, let's fix this slice. And every pro on the land, basically, every decent pro will know how to fix the slice. And then you work on that for until it's fixed. And it's not a difficult thing to do most of the time. It just requires a bit of work at the range doing what they tell you. You don't fix it on the course. And then likewise, they don't think, okay, I've got that sorted now and I'll go and work on my short game and then I'll work on my 3 foot putts or whatever it is. That's not the way most amateur golfers work on their game. They never break it down like that with complete honesty and fix the individual parts. But most of the time, most golfers, if they did that, could make an almost exponential improvement in their game if they were that honest and were prepared to take, you know, maybe a month away from playing every week and put a lot of that time then into focusing on those issues.
A lot of people do that. They have a sneaky way of doing this. You see, you go to Las Vegas and you take a short course, like a 3-day class, you know, and you find out what you need to do. And then you, in your spare time, where you secretly go and you practice everything that you've learned. And then a month later, you show up with your foursome again, you know, and they're like, wow, what happened? Oh, nothing. It's just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know a lot of people who actually do that. Now, were you discovered after, well, a year of putting yourself through these rigors, and then, of course, once you broke par, you didn't continue, right? You gave yourself a break, and you went back to life.
Yes, absolutely. When I had to, really, you know, I broke a couple of ribs messing about in the beach, actually, almost very quickly within the week or so after that. And then, I mean, I definitely had to go back to life. You know, there's
okay. Yeah. Now, but you've created Break Par Golf. You have an entire lesson plan for people who might like to. The BreakParBlueprint.com
yep.
is where people can go to kind of follow your thinking.
That's right. And you know, we've had now about 1,000 people have been through that course, a little bit over 1,000 because there's about another 170 went on in the last week or so. Yeah, that's been fascinating because that's a large amount of the principles is what I was saying there. And we break it all down and I go through all the things that I learned and, you know, and perhaps try and emphasize the things that, you know, that I made the mistakes on so that people don't make the same mistakes too. And we've had some amazing improvements. It's been a fascinating journey for me too, you know, to see how much of those principles can then apply through to other folk, you know.
Yes, and it makes you feel good that you're able to share your experience and your...
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, your the learning that you went through. Here, let me share this with you. And for those who are open enough, it's Break... parblueprint.com as you would write it out, breakparblueprint.com, and that's where
all
you
one
find,
word
all one word exactly. Now this is great. You know, when I was in London, I'm not sure if it was 99 or 2001, but I was watching something called EastEnders. It was one of the few things that we could catch on TV, you know. And we just became like soap opera fanatics with EastEnders. We came back to the States and we were able to catch it. Loved it. I'm not sure if is it still on, EastEnders?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, love it.
Program still, yeah.
We don't get to see it in the States. It's not even carried on BBC America. At least I'm not on our version. But Alfie Kane was played by, what was his name? Mark
Pegg. Yep.
Is he going to be you in the movie?
No, he's not. It's like the person playing me is likely to be an actor called James Nesbitt, who's actually from Northern Ireland, but he's a very big star over here. He's going to be in The Hobbit, actually, so you know he would be a bigger star certainly here than he would be across there. But you will be probably seeing him soon in The Hobbit.
In The Hobbit.
So it's likely to be him.
And but no, Mark, who was in EastEnders, yes, he's now a producer. He realised that that was the side of the camera that he wanted to be on, because I think he hoped that's where the money was.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Dream on.
Yeah, exactly. I think, yeah, exactly. Very much so.
Yes. Okay, so James Nesbitt is going to be you, and Mark Pegg is your producer. And when does filming start? Just real quick, your reaction to reading your own screenplay. Here, you didn't write the screenplay, but your book was taken. It was made into a screenplay. Your reaction is priceless. You can see it. It's Artifice Film. Artificefilm.com, and he's like, you were engrossed in it so much so that even though you know the ending, you want to tell us about that.
Well, you know what, Danielle, it is a really bizarre situation to be in, where you're reading a film script about you. Now, obviously, it's based on my book, but there are a number of parts of it that are, you know, relatively different, and they make the lows a lot lower. And it is absolutely weird to read about this character, John, who is partly me and partly not me. And I had been out, I'd been at meetings all day, and I'd been out late night at the meetings when I got the script through that night. And I sat up all night reading it and then finished it in the morning. It's incredible because you get hugely caught up in the whole thing. And they make a much bigger deal at the ending. So I can't really give too much of it away.
No, don't tell us.
You know, just... be aware that, you know, all of the things that we've talked about in terms of work and my wife and all of those things, or everything gets worse for me than happened in real life. So then it all has to come back together with a sort of a, certainly quite a big Hollywood-style ending, you know. It all comes good.
Oh, this is great. It's so much fun talking to you. You have such insight in just life, and the book is Dream On. You must get it. You can get it at Amazon.com and enjoy it, and just vicariously go through this year with John. It's fabulous. Thanks so much. And you know, I must get your phone number, because I could have called you to say. And I finally got all your emails that came in about, oh, I don't know, 8:10. So I see where you're trying to tell me I'm here.
The problem was I was sitting there, yeah, waiting, thinking, did I just interrupt? And then you went on to the slightly emotional Ernie one. And I didn't want to just be this idiot arriving. Hello!
And by the way, the Ernie one, we have that. So I want to get to that, but I need to do a commercial break. So thanks so much for being on the show. You are
the best.
That's
a pleasure. Always, Danielle.
And we'll talk soon?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, good. Thank you. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Need a good plumber 24/7? Alakai Mechanical has the best, from design to installation to maintenance. If you need more than a quick fix, get it repaired by the team at Alakai Mechanical. Whether you're in a home, restaurant, office building, or shopping center, your plumbing has to work. Alakai's world-class plumbing technicians use quality parts to keep your water and sewer lines working properly. Protect your investment. Licensed and insured. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. Your plumbers on call. Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And we have just enough time to listen to Bob Bupka with Ernie Els.
Ernie, talk a little bit about earlier this week, a very successful pro-am that you conducted and another step towards building that Center for Excellence.
Yes, thank you. We had a really great day. It's the third year running now at PJ National. You know, Marvin Shanken from Wine Spectator and Cigar Aficionado, him and his team ran that tournament smoothly again. We had a great group of guys coming down, you know, amateurs paying a lot of money to play with the pros, and saying that, you know, the pros have been so supportive to our cause and the tournament. Guys came down from Tampa and all over the region to come and play, and we just had a great time and very thankful.
Heard the number is a little over $700,000. That's pretty incredible, and of course you're going to have the big one, the biggest pro-am in history, and people can find out about it by going to ErnieEls.com. But what's that going to be about?
Well, we're trying to. We're actually doing the biggest charity golf event in the United States. We're doing 30 events around the country, mostly at TPC golf courses, where we have two-man teams, baseball teams, where they enter, and if they can match that with charity money, the biggest donors, the biggest guys that make the biggest money come to Vegas, and we have a final event in Vegas for 2 days. So everybody wants to go to Vegas and have some fun, and this will be a great great way for them to get there.
It's going to be called the Els for Autism Golf Challenge, and I know the motivation behind it, obviously, is your son Ben, and you want to help other youngsters in a similar fashion. Congratulations.
Thank you, Bob. We want to get that center built, and hopefully we can do that in the very near future.
Yes, indeed. And if you'd like to participate in that, you can go to elsforautism.com and find out more about that. I want to thank all of the folks who make this golf show possible. It's the Golf Club. You can find us at radiogolfclub.com. Olicae Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal and commercial kitchen design, fabrication, excellent service, expert knowledge, work and product. You can depend on Olicae Mechanical. Star Protection. Get the star team on your property, whether you need protection, like for your shopping center, your neighborhood, or maybe your event that you're putting on, or you'd like to join the star team. Call Star Protection. Star Protection is what you need. Moon Physical Therapy. Doctor recommended and insurance approved. We achieve results. Moon Physical Therapy. If you've been in a car accident or sport injury you're recovering from, maybe from surgery, Moon Physical Therapy. See Julie Moon. She'll help you at Moon Physical Therapy, right across from Sports Authority. Poipu Bay. Yep. Special values and packages. Poipu Bay Golf Course. Kauai's South Shore gem. It is open and it is playing beautifully. It's unlike any other course. Poipu Bay Golf Course. It is just an awesome place to be. You'll really enjoy your time there, and I recommend it. The number is 742-8711. Golf Club, sponsored by Hawaii Golf News and Travel, 808golf.com, and you can catch us at radiogolf.com or iTunes. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2011.